Yeah. Well, good morning, everyone. How are we all? Well, that's good. That's good. Excellent. Just before I start, there's a couple of things I would like to do. Who's listened to the EP this week? I've been listening to it. Who's given one away this week? Oh, guys, come on. Oh, a few of you have. That's really good. It's a really great tool to actually be able to hand to somebody and say, this is what our guys do. This is the music we've had. It's been really great. One of my friends actually works just next door here, and she's been listening to all the practice for it. So I was able to give her a CD, and she was really happy about it. So that's good. She loves the music, guys. She's heard you. The other thing is that for all those lucky Year 12 people, give me a little wave if you're Year 12 here at the moment. Yeah, there's a couple of others around. The HSC starts in a few days for all those lucky HSC people. Yeah, let's pray for them, say. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you provide education for our families and our people. But Father, I ask especially for those who are doing their HSC this week and in the weeks following, Lord, that, Father, that you would help them to recall everything that they've done. But Father, you would help them to remain calm and focused on what they need to do. But Father, that your blessing would be upon them, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's 27 years since I did the HSC, guys. That is a one scary thought. Every year it comes around and they add up, and you know, it was 5 years and that was all right, and then it was 10 years and then it was 15. I was thinking, yeah, that's still okay. And then it got to 20 and 25, and it was just getting worse and worse. And I thought, man, in a few years it's going to be 30 years. My goodness, that's really scary. Let me read you a parable. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Today's message is on faith. And you might think, well, that's a really weird parable. That parable's all about God's justice. But I can't get out of my head that last line. When the Son of Man comes, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith on the earth? I thought, what a weird line to put after that kind of parable. Will he find faith on the earth? You know, most Australians say that they believe in God. 70 or 80% of us say we believe in God. A whole lot less of us actually come to church. When you dig a little bit deeper, most people say they believe in God in some kind of out there, ethereal kind of God exists, and maybe he's nice enough to let them into heaven when they die if they've been good enough. Who's come across that kind of thing? I hear it all the time. I'm pretty good. I think, you know, as long as you're pretty good, then you get into heaven. So I started to look up the word faith because I thought to myself, there's got to be more to faith than just believing that God exists. There must be more than that. The Greek word is one that sounds a little bit rude to the Australian ear, so I'm not going to say it, but it actually means a conviction of the truth of anything. So when it's in the Christian context, it's a belief that God exists, is creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation. It's a strong and welcome conviction of belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain salvation. It's a little bit different to just believing in God, isn't it? So I started looking up faith, all the words where Jesus started to talk about faith. And do you know what I found? There seemed to be a couple of different things. He either said to people, I can't believe you have such great faith. Do you know what he more often said? Oh, you of little faith. Isn't that a scary thing? He often said, you of little faith. How affronting that must have been for the Jewish people who would have considered themselves to have had faith in God. They were the chosen people. They were the chosen ones. They were the ones who had faith. And yet Jesus says to these very same people, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people with a strong conviction in God and a strong belief in God for their salvation? Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's about believing in an amazing and incredible saving God, isn't it? When we look at this, it's about believing in an incredible saving God while we wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. I looked up the idea of hope because if it's about being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see, what are we hoping for? We have to understand what that hope is. Because when Jesus talks about faith, that's the kind of faith he's talking about. Faith is really an intangible thing, isn't it? And I think that's where we find it hard sometimes. I can look at the stuff around here and I can go, this is a lectern, I can see this. I don't have to extend any great faith to see this. I don't have to extend a great faith to know that what we're all sitting on is chairs. You know, they're tangible things that we can get a hold on. But faith, in a lot of ways, is intangible. And I wonder for us what faith really means for us this morning. What does faith mean to you this morning? What do you understand by faith in God? How does that work out in your life? Because when Jesus talked about faith, it always had to do with some aspect of life. Faith is the basis of the kingdom of God. Faith is the basis of it. And we have to understand what faith really is. So when Jesus said to his disciples that they lacked faith, it was a pretty strong rebuke. I'm just wondering today where our faith is at. I have a few questions for us along the way. But can we be people who have a belief in an incredible God who is actually a saving God? So when we look up hope, let me just find where I wrote that. Hope, which I can't find in my notes. Basically, hope was an understanding of what was to come, the eternal salvation that was to come that we couldn't necessarily see. And when it comes back to it, you know, I'm talking about faith being intangible. It's a spiritual dimension. It's not tangible, but it's a spiritual dimension with a practical application. So let's look at what faith does. Let's have some things about faith this morning. The first thing is the faith only has to be small to be effective. It only has to be small to be effective. We don't actually have to have huge amounts of faith for God to move. We just have to apply the faith that we have. If we just have a tiny bit, Jesus says, we can move mountains. Anybody moved a mountain lately? Anybody chucked Mount Kembla into the sea? I haven't just recently. The Bible tells me in Romans 12:2-4, that each one of us has been given a measure of faith by God. And God expects us to use that measure of faith. Jesus also said, because the disciples were struggling with this, he said, you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. Matthew 17:20, it says, the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? The background of that was they were trying to drive out a demon and it wasn't working for them. And Jesus, they come to him and says, why? And he replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. I find those words amazing, that Jesus says, if you have just a tiny little bit of faith, nothing is impossible. Who's ever seen a mustard seed? They're tiny. They're not the tiniest of seeds, but they're really, really tiny, aren't they? They're little things. When I was a kid, we used to have what they called mustard and cress kits. Anybody my sort of generation ever see them? They were just there's a couple of us. They were basically a kit that you got, and you got your seeds, and you put your mustard on this side and your cress seeds on that side, and they grew up to about this high, if they grew at all. And then you chopped them off and you put them on your sandwich. And the mustard ones didn't taste that great, and neither did the cress, so there you go. But it was fun kind of growing. But one of the things I learned from growing that was that the mustard seed was actually quite tiny. And you get it on your finger, and if you drop it, it's really, really hard to find. And Jesus says, if you've got faith just as big as that little tiny mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And the last I saw, Mount Kemba and Mount Kira are still standing. And I don't know if any of us have tried to move them into the sea, because I'm not really sure that would be necessarily the most helpful thing that we could do for our city. But if we had just a tiny... We all know how big they are. We can move a mountain into the sea if we have just a tiny bit of faith. God isn't asking us to move mountains. What he's asking us to do is have faith and apply it. We only need a little tiny bit of faith. So if you need the faith the size of a mustard seed to move a mountain, how much do you need to deal with the stuff that happens in your life? That's also a whole lot easier, really, isn't it, than trying to move Mount Kira into the sea. Just a tiny little bit. I looked up the size of a mustard seed and it says 3 mil. Well, the ones I had were a lot smaller than that, but they're tiny, really, really, really tiny. I think what Jesus was trying to say to his disciples is you don't need masses of faith. What you do need to do is use the measure of faith that you've been given. It's not about huge faith. It's about using what you have. And that's what Jesus was trying to say to them. So faith only has to be small to be effective. I think the second thing we can say about faith is that faith overcomes fear. We live in a world where so many people are fearful of so much stuff. You look on the TV and they're afraid of terrorism, they're afraid of nuclear power, they're afraid of anything and everything, and, you know, we get into situations where we can be afraid. And sometimes, you know, fear's okay. Fear is part of God's warning system that says something's not right here. But if you're living in that all the time, then you're not applying that bit of faith and that measure of faith that Jesus says that we have. So when we act in faith, there's actually no place for fear. Fear stifles faith if we allow it to. But when applied, faith overcomes fear. Fear has no place in our life. You know, faith says, my God is able. Fear says, my God isn't able. But faith says, my God is able. In Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25, we see the disciples out on the water. You can read it later. Most of us know this story. The disciples are out on a boat. And who's ever been out on a boat when it's a bit rough? Yeah, who's ever been seasick? Yeah. A few years ago when we were in South Africa, we went out across to... And to be honest, it wasn't actually even that rough. But we went out to Robben Island and there was a fair bit of swell and I was beginning to feel a little bit seasick. So I kind of felt a little bit. I'd never really felt seasick before, but I kind of felt for the disciples. Because if you're in a boat and the weather is rough and there's a storm all around you, and the boat they're in was a pretty small fishing boat, not a huge launch thing that takes you across, then I'm pretty sure I'm going to feel a little bit afraid in that situation. Jesus was asleep. He obviously wasn't afraid. And the disciples were probably thinking, does he know the danger that we are in? They understood the danger of the lake. They understood how quickly a storm could come up and how dangerous it could be. They would have seen people who'd lost their lives on the lake. So they knew what the situation was. They wake Jesus up. I'm really glad that Jesus was perfect, because when I'm woken up, I am not a happy chappy. Just say that now. I am not a happy chappy. So they wake Jesus up. Come on, Jesus, there's this huge storm. Can't you see? We're all going to die. And Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind and the waves. They flatten down. The disciples go, wow. And he says, not, gee, I understand why you were afraid. He goes, you have little faith. See, fear means that we're not exercising our faith. I can understand why the disciples were afraid. Let's not be too hard on the poor old disciples. But let's remember in those kind of situations, what was Jesus trying to say? Jesus was saying, I'm with you. You can have faith in me to save you in your situation, to be with you in your situation. Jesus was not worried about the wind and the waves, and we shouldn't be. When the winds and the waves and the storms of life come, we can apply faith to that situation and not be worried about what's going to happen. Why? Because we have a God who is able in every situation, a God who is able. You know, we need to put our faith into practice. That faith that says God is big, God is creator, God is saviour, the assurance that what we're hoping for is going to come about, and exercise our faith. The third thing is that faith requires action. So faith only has to be small, and it's great for overcoming fear, but it does require action. Each time Jesus commended someone, it was when they had actually acted on their faith. Each of these people, and I'm going to talk about them in just a moment, had a very difficult situation in their life. Every single one had seemed completely and totally unsolved for them in any natural way, shape, or form. There's people who had all sorts of horrible stuff go on. But each time, we see people being proactive about their faith. The interesting thing that I notice in most of these stories is a lot of them weren't even Jewish. Quite often, the people that Jesus said had great faith were Gentiles. And I wonder how affronting to the Jews that would have been for them, who were supposedly the ones of faith, to be told they had no faith, and the Gentiles, who seemed to them to be the ones outside the kingdom, that they were the ones that had great faith. I find that really amazing. See, God commended people when they put their faith into action. The Jewish people believed in God, but they didn't necessarily put that faith into action in their daily life. So they didn't just stay at home. These people didn't just stay at home going, woe is me. They didn't even just stay at home praying and declaring the word of God. Most of them were Gentiles, didn't even know the word of God. Now, don't get me wrong here. If you are standing and declaring God's word over a situation, I think that's a good thing. What I'm saying is you've got to do more than that. You've got to declare his word, but you've got to be active in what you do with your faith. You've got to do more than just say stuff. You've got to actually do stuff. Now, some people can go really, really weird with all of this stuff. So let's just, you know, I'm a fairly practical person with this. Let's take a practical road. Matthew 9, 21 to 23 talks about a woman who had an issue of blood. That's pretty horrible kind of thing to have going on in your life all day, every day, for years and years and years and years and years. I think it was something like 12 years. And to go on and on and on and to not be healed, it meant that she was an outcast. Even though she was a Jewish woman, she was outcast from society. She was separate. What did she have to do? She didn't just stay at home and just say, God's going to heal me. She deliberately sought out an answer. She deliberately went out from her home into a crowded place to seek the answer for her situation. I really like what she did because she took some risks. And stepping out in faith takes some risk. We've got to do that to get the answers when we're struggling. Another woman that was commended for their great faith was the Syrophoenician woman. She was a Canaanite. She had a sick daughter. And you can find her story in Matthew 15, 21 or Mark 7, 24. She had a daughter who was really sick. She had a daughter that really needed help. And she came to Jesus. And she didn't, I find it really interesting that she just came to Jesus to beg Jesus to heal him. Or her, sorry, heal her. And the story, when you read it, Jesus sounded pretty tough. He says to her, I only came for the people of Israel, not for you lot. Do you know what she says? I don't care. I don't care who you came for, she basically says. She says, you know, even dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall off the table. I'm happy to take whatever you can give me, is basically what she's saying. And Jesus said to her, you have great faith. Do you know why? Because she didn't back down. She didn't go, woe is me, nobody wants to help me. She persisted, she continued, she put that faith in action, and she didn't take no for an answer. For those of you who are getting a bit worried about Jesus' behaviour toward her, he wasn't actually being nasty. He was making a point to the Jewish people around him. Then we have the centurion in Luke 7, 1 to 10. He also had a child who was really ill and dying and nobody could do anything about it. And again, he doesn't just stay at home and expect that nothing would happen. He goes out, he seeks out somebody from a different nationality, but he says, Jesus can help me with this, I'm going to do it. Takes a step of faith, takes a risk in all of this. There was a possibility that Jesus would say no, but God's not like that, is he? Jesus is not like that. Jesus cares. And each person overcame the odds by having the faith and the courage to put that faith into action. And of course, Clinton also mentioned this morning from James chapter 2 that faith without works is dead. Our faith, as we apply it to life, should have another outworking, not just for our own lives, but for the life of other people. Our faith should be applied to help other people. In James chapter 2, it says that in verse 14, it says that faith is seen in what we do, not in what we say. You see, faith is seen in what we do, not in what we say. We can say all sorts of stuff. We can say we believe in God. We can say we have faith. But unless there is action to that faith, it actually says, the NIV says it's dead, the NLT says it's useless. I don't want my faith to be a useless faith. I don't know about you, but I want my faith to be one that's useful for the kingdom of God. I want my faith to be one that is put into action. And I hope you guys do too, because faith is about action. You know, faith is the intangible, isn't it? Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. But when we have that assurity and we have that certainty, we apply it and we put it into action, we actually see something. What we see is changed lives, different people, different stuff happening, God working, all sorts of miracles occurring. So faith requires action and it brings results. And the fourth thing, and the last one, is that faith pleases God. I actually think this is one of the most important ones. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, it's more than just believing that he exists. It's earnestly seeking him. The faith we're talking about is exactly the same word as is used right through the Bible, or at least in the New Testament, where it says that faith, conviction that God exists, a conviction that he is the creator, a conviction that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the sort of faith that pleases God. Believing God exists is just the very basis of that faith. It actually says in James that even the demons believe that God exists and they tremble. So for when your friends say, oh yes, I believe God exists, I'm not necessarily suggesting to you that you say to them, yes, so do the demons, because they might not understand that. They might think you're a bit odd. But we need to understand that just believing that God exists is not enough. It's just not enough. We must not only believe that he exists, but we have to believe that he rewards us when we seek him, that he actually cares enough about us, that he wants the relationship with us. I love the way the Message puts it. I looked this up and it's great. The Message in verses 5 and 6 in Hebrews 6 says, by an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. I like that description of faith. I like the idea that faith that is what we hope for, that faith that has a certainty of what we don't see, an assurance and a conviction of what God is on about, that kind of faith is the faith that pleases God. So I have a couple of challenges for us. I had a couple of questions. My first question to you is, do we use the measure of faith that God has given us in our everyday life? Are we using it? And my second question is, do we apply faith in a practical way? Are we using it? Are we applying it to every situation in our life, to everything that we face every day? Because the last question really remains. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Let's think about that. You know, maybe as we just come to the end of the message, maybe you realize you haven't been applying faith. And maybe you're just completely new to the Christian life, or maybe you don't know much about God at all. Take this time just to think about who God is and what faith really is. As I pray, I'd really like to pray for people who would really like to begin to use the measure of faith that God has given them. But I'd also like to pray for people who maybe don't know Jesus at all, who really don't understand much of what I've been talking about. And if that's you, maybe you can give me a little bit of a wave. But as I pray, can I just ask that you open your hearts to God? Ask him to show you what you need to do to apply faith in your life. Father, I just thank you, Lord, as we come before you now. We ask, Father, that you would help us to be people of faith. Father, I want to pray now for those who maybe are not sure what I've been talking about this morning, who think that faith is a weird thing that's just out there, something that's in the ether that they don't know about, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would give understanding. But Father, I pray, Lord, that each one of us would have an understanding of what faith really is, a faith in a saving God, a faith in Jesus as Messiah and the way for salvation and eternal life. Father, open our hearts to you this morning. Help us to understand who you really are, to live a life of faith. Thank you, God.